Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. We live in an age when more words have been written than in any other era, and in fact more words have been spoken as well than in any other era. We have the internet and social media, and they've given a public voice to nearly everyone. Of course, many of the words that are written and spoken are empty, they are hurtful, and they are false words. The culture that we live in has twisted what truth is and how words are to be used. We only have to look at our politicians, and you'll probably be more tuned into this than I am, but believe it or not, there are some politicians who say they're speaking the truth when they say, "I have no recollection of that," and they perhaps repeat that phrase over and over again when they're being questioned on something important. It comes as no surprise to us that Scripture gives words an important place. In James chapter 3, in speaking about the tongue and the dangers of not bridling the tongue, the Psalms are full of how we speak. We sang from Psalm 15, and certainly our words are important there. We'll be singing towards the end of our service from Psalm 34 about keeping a watch on our tongue, on our words. But the book of Proverbs, probably more so than any other part of the Bible, speaks to us concerning our words. Because of this, as Christ's people, we should pay particular attention on how we use our words, how we speak to one another, how we speak to the world around us, and we should be marked out as different. We should be Christ-like. Or, taking our key verse from Proverbs 25, verse 11, when we speak, they should be apples of gold in settings of silver. I want us to notice, firstly, from this verse, that we should have thoughtful words. Thoughtful words. In this age of social media, it's very easy to share our opinions or to give an answer to someone without really thinking. But of course, we don't have to be sitting behind a keyboard or a phone to do that. There are times when we can open our mouths and the words just seem to spill out without us really having thought through what we're going to say. We haven't engaged our brains the way we should. But Proverbs gives us this really helpful illustration. Our words are to be like apples of gold in settings of silver. These apples of gold in the setting of silver, it could be referring to a skilled craftsman who forms the golden fruit and then places it into a silver frame or a background. It could refer to actual golden fruit that's placed into a silver bowl of some sort. Or, as it may well be, the golden fruit hanging on the tree with silvery leaves. The word here that's translated as apple, it's more likely that it could be apricot. It is a golden fruit that grows abundantly in and around the Middle East. Whatever the imagery is, the meaning is abundantly clear. Our words are to be beautiful. They're to be formed. They're to be considered. Just as the craftsman considers every detail of what he is making, just as he has the finished masterpiece in mind before he creates it. Or if the actual fruit here is the apricot, just as the creator himself considered every detail of what he has made, just as he had in mind his finished masterpiece, so our words are to be considered. They are to be formed. They're to be beautiful. They're to be thoughtful. Well, how are our words to be thoughtful? How do they resemble golden fruit? Well, Scripture gives us lots of wisdom in this matter, but I want to just take a few verses around this key verse, verses that we read from earlier. And here we're really just getting a flavour of what this golden fruit looks like and tastes like. Our words are to be humble. Look at verses 6 to 7 of Proverbs 25 that we read from earlier. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king. do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say, you come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Here we have boasting words, an exalting of self. But continually scripture warns us against this pride, a self-exalting pomp and boasting. If our words that we use are boastful, if they're seeking to exalt ourselves, if they're being used to advance ourselves beyond others, if we're using our words to make others think that we are greater than what we are, then here is the warning in Proverbs. You will be brought lower in the presence of the prince. Consider King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, a prime example of someone who boasted in his pomp and his greatness. Look at me! Look at the kingdom that I have formed in my strength, in my great might. And yet what did God do? He brought Nebuchadnezzar down low. Gave him a mind like a wild animal. He became like an animal out in the wild. Brought low because his words were boastful. You see, beautiful words are not proud words. Thoughtful words are not boastful words. We are not to be self-exalting. Sometimes as Christians, we can perhaps do that. We can readily share what we have done for the Lord, and we can do it in the guise of just letting others know, but yet in our heart we know this will make me look better than what I actually am. Are those words like golden fruit settings of silver, putting ourselves into a favourable light when we know it's maybe only partly the truth? Our words have to be thoughtful. We have to think through what we're going to say, and a question that we're to ask ourselves, the Proverbs commands us to ask, is, are these boastful words? Our words are to be humble. Then our words are also to be considered. They're to be weighed up in our minds before we speak them. Look at verse 8. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbour has put you to shame? Here is a warning again. Do not be hasty in what we say. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, as we're told to do in James chapter 1 verse 19. Think about what you're going to do. Think about what you're going to say. Consider it. Weigh it up. That's what we're being told to do here. This goes for the words that we write as well. Not many of you may be on social media, but you certainly hear a lot about it. And certainly the news focuses a lot on social media and what's reported through social media. People putting up a post or making a comment, it's all too easy to hit enter on the screen without giving a thought to what it is that you've just written. The opinion that you've just expressed. That's what the world does. We are not to be like that. We are different as Christ people. We should be slow to speak. We should be considered in our words. We should weigh them up in our minds before we speak them. Our words are to be humble. Our words are to be considered. Our words are then also to be restrained. Verses 9 and 10. Says, debate your case with your neighbour and do not disclose the secret to another. We're not to be gossips. We're not to air our grievances. How much damage has been done in the church because private grievances haven't been resolved privately? How much damage can be done when personal matters become public discussions? We're to be thoughtful with our words by keeping our words restrained, holding back the tongue. As James says in James 3, what damage can be done by such a small member of the body? Our words are to be restrained. Then our words are also to be refreshing. Thoughtful words are refreshing words. Verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. The snow at the time of harvest is fairly unexpected, but during that warm weather in the Middle East, during those hot, dusty days of the harvest, what great refreshing and comfort must come from a cooler air, even from the snow falling. Our words are to be words that refresh one another, that strengthen one another, that build one another up. Encouraging words as we point to Jesus Christ, the one who is the living water, the one who refreshes us and restores our soul. We're to be like Barnabas in the book of Acts, the son of encouragement. Be thoughtful in our words as we seek to refresh one another. Our words are also to be trustworthy. Verse 14. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Oh yes, I'll do that. I'll be there. I'll support that. I promise. We use our words hoping to be helpful, even with the desire to help. But it's easier to say we will do this or that than it is to actually do it. But as Christians, as Christ's people, those who've been set apart in his kingdom, our words are to be trustworthy. We're to be faithful in what we say. Our actions should accompany our words. Otherwise, we are just like that cloud in the sky that promises rain and that much needed rain, but yet fails to deliver. Our words are to be humble. They're to be considered, they're to be restrained, refreshing, trustworthy. And then our words are to be gentle, verse 15. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. The gentle words, we are told, accomplishes more than harsh words, cruel words. Patient words will have greater effect than impatient words. Our words are to be gentle. As we'll see in a bit, we can of course speak words of rebuke, but we can speak words of discipline, but even these can be said from a gentle spirit. Even these can be words that are patient. They are words that can still be spoken in love. Our words are to be gentle. As I said, this is just a flavour, just a quick glance at this golden fruit and what it looks like. Here's a very quick overview of the beauty of our words. They are to be thoughtful and considered and weighed up. Scripture makes that clear. As Christ's people, our words are to be thoughtful. And of course, isn't this seen most of all in how our Saviour himself spoke? It's no coincidence that much of what is said here is repeated in the New Testament and even in the words of Jesus himself. Do not exalt yourself. Didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, you're so quick to take the places of honour, but how embarrassing when you're told to move down. Humble yourself. It includes our words. Jesus said, do not hastily go to court. We're to be slow to anger. We're to be forgiving. We're to be gentle. Christ himself exemplified these in his life, and he calls us as his followers, as his redeemed people, to be likewise in our speech. His words, that are all of these things, are of course refreshing words, life-giving words. As his people, our words are to be like apricots of gold, apples of gold, fruit of gold. They are to be beautiful as they are thoughtful. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we are his people, we are to then speak as his people, thoughtful words. But then secondly, we also have here in this verse, timely words. Timely words. words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in a setting or in settings of silver. That is, words that are to be delivered at the right time. The imagery here is a little bit complicated. The word fitly or aptly, it has to do with the word wheel. Our words are to have wheels, we might say. That is, they are to be delivered in the right way, at the right time. They are to be timely words. We know the damage that words can do when they're delivered at the wrong time. Bad timing can demolish and tarnish what we are trying to say to someone. Even if it's true, even if it comes from a desire to speak the truth to that person, bad timing can have serious consequences. We don't have time this evening to think of all the examples that we could when our words can be delivered with bad timing. So just very briefly, when it's times of sorrow, times of mourning, times when a brother or sister has fallen into sin, times of suffering, we can often speak words that are true into those times, but just maybe not the right words at the right time. Think of telling a small child who has just fallen off the wall and split their head open that climbing on the wall is dangerous. I told you that you would fall. I hope you're going to learn this lesson about the dangers of walls and the importance and knowledge of gravity. And you could go into all of these details that are true. And certainly at some stage, the child will need to know all of these things. But they don't need to know them then and there. Not right now. That child needs lifted up. That child needs tended to. They need care, love, compassion. There will be a time to say all that needs to be said, but this is not the time. You see, our words are to be like apples of gold in settings of silver. This golden fruit is placed into a beautiful frame, into a wonderful background. It's placed into that silver bowl, or the golden fruit hanging on the tree, framed with the silvery leaves. And the apricot tree, it has a green, silvery leaf to it. Whatever the imagery is, the meaning is clear. The situation, the background of when our words are delivered, is important. The circumstances of our words can make our words shine all the brighter. Good timing. Understanding the circumstances. These can add a real beauty to what we are saying. And how many of us have had that experience in our lives? Going through a difficult time in our lives. A situation that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, but by God's plan and purpose we're in. We're struggling. Maybe even on the verge of breaking. And yet into that circumstance comes the Word of God. The word of Christ himself, a sermon that is preached, a psalm that is sung, a word that's spoken by a fellow believer, and the setting, the delivery, the circumstances have just made it all the more beautiful. The sermon stands out to us. That part of God's word that we read, or that psalm that was just sung, the words spoken to us by a brother or sister in Christ. And the words are all the sweeter, all the more radiant, because of the timing, because of the circumstances. As we speak to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be sensitive to the situations and the circumstances that they find themselves in. As we speak to the world around us, as we speak to our unbelieving family members, neighbours, work colleagues, friends, understanding the circumstances in which they find themselves in, delivering our words at the right time with consideration. Practically, it's helpful if we try to put ourselves into the other person's shoes. ask ourselves, is this a good time to speak? Perhaps what we have to say would be better said later on, when they're not busy, when the situation has calmed down, when we have calmed down maybe, when they're in a better position to listen and answer. Timing is important, and that's what we have here. We are to think of the circumstances in which the words are delivered. Words spoken at the right time can be beautiful, radiant and glorious, like apples of gold in a frame or settings of silver. There are times, of course, when we are to speak and not be silent. Times when the situation might seem awkward, but Christ still has to be shared. There are words in season, but there are also words to be spoken out of season, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. And all of this takes wisdom. We won't always get it right. But as we seek to live for Christ, as we seek to speak his truth, might our words always fit the circumstances. Might our timing always frame what we are saying and make it all the more beautiful and radiant. And that does take prayer and wisdom in all of that. We've thought about the thoughtfulness of our words, framing and considering what we're saying. They are to be this fruit of gold. Thought about the timing. They're to be framed in the circumstances. Consider when they are being delivered, how we are delivering them. But then thirdly, I want us just very briefly to think about listening to fitly spoken words. Listening to fitly spoken words. We are not always the ones to speak. We have a responsibility. We are also to listen. Look at verse 12. We are to have an obedient ear. How we listen can really help the words spoken to be apples of gold and settings of silver. The words themselves can become like gold rings or gold earrings, ornaments of gold to us. We have a responsibility to listen. As Christ people, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, as your minister preaches, whatever circumstance it's in, as apples of gold are being formed and presented in settings of silver, we are to have ears that hear. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Words preached, words shared, words spoken in love. That includes the gentle rebuke, the loving concern. And even if the timing isn't great, even if the words aren't the most thoughtful, they can still be apples of gold and settings of silver when we listen with an obedient ear. You see, there's a beautiful balance to these verses. The responsibility to take care with how we use our tongue, speaking thoughtfully and timely words. But also we have the responsibility to listen, to have an obedient ear when God's word is brought to bear on our lives. As Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. So let us also seek to listen to the words that are fitly spoken. How many times the unity and the fellowship of Christ's people could be strengthened if, when words that maybe aren't the most beautiful, when words that maybe aren't the most timely are given out of love, how many times the church could benefit if the listener was gracious, if the listener had obedient ears, if the listener had ears to hear. So many problems, so many issues could be resolved in that way. Now, certainly the responsibility to speak and speak wisely and timely and beautifully and gently is there. Be thoughtful. The responsibility is also to listen. When we speak and use our words, We're going to be marking ourselves out as different from the world around us. But words are everywhere, and how we use them to build one another up, to present the gospel, to encourage, and at times to give loving words of rebuke and correction. This takes discipline in a Christian life, and so we're to pray that our words will be golden fruit in settings of silver. Fill our minds and our hearts with God's word so that what comes out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. We are to seek to be Christ-like in what we say to one another, that our words like his will be golden fruit and sticks of silver. But just to finish with one last very brief encouragement, that is, we will still fail. We'll still make a mess of the things that we say. We still at times won't hear with an obedient ear. You might say, well, where's the encouragement in that? It's in this. There is one who always speaks words that are beautiful fruit that's golden in settings of silver. His name is Jesus Christ. His truth always comes to us out of grace, out of mercy. His truth is always timely. His truth is always refreshing. And so it's great for us to know that his word is always truthful. And so with him there is always forgiveness for when we fail, when we stumble. His words are always thoughtful. His words are wise. His words bring life. And so we turn to him when we stumble and fail over these things. And we find great joy in the words that he has spoken that are apples of gold and settings of silver. Amen. Let us join together in prayer. Our Father, as we are challenged this evening concerning the use of our tongue, as we're challenged about how we speak to one another and encourage one another, and might we seek always to speak words that are fitting, apples of gold in settings of silver. Might we always seek to be Christ-like in how we address one another and even speak to those around us. Father, we thank you for the fact that now in Scotland the churches can meet together in public again. We thank you for how you've overturned that. We pray, Lord, that even with the media exposure, that there might be an increased interest in some to come and hear your truth. We pray especially for the work in Stornoway. O Lord, might those in the community have, by your grace, a heart stirred within them to come and to hear words of gold, beautiful apples of gold and settings of silver. Might your Spirit speak your truth in a timely fashion, rebuking and correcting, but also drawing to yourself, showing people Jesus Christ and grace and mercy that comes through the Lamb. Lord, we pray for more men to be raised up to fill our pulpits. We thank you for those men at our respective colleges and those who are training. Might you continue to strengthen them. Might they be godly men as we prayed earlier. Might they be men of the word, mighty in the word as was prayed. O Lord, might you raise up those who can proclaim apples of gold and settings of silver to the praise of your glory. Lord, might your word bring refreshing and challenge to our lives. Might we always find in you our strength and our comfort. Because we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to sing again as we close. We're turning to Psalm 34.